Welcome, everyone, to the Bait Mix Podcast. I'm Mr. Crit. And in this podcast episode, I wanted to talk about what it takes to make a great pay lake experience if you're a fisherman going to the lake. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know about where people on listening to this podcast, if you, depending on where you are in the world, if there are a lot of pay lakes around where you live. Now, where I live in the southeastern United States, particularly in North and South Carolina, there's a good many pay lakes. I've seen a surprising number, more than you would think. And while there are some that are just, you know, catfishing, mostly there's carp fishing, but there's other, you know, I'm sure they have bass and brim and this, that, and the other and things that you can do. I don't, you know, I haven't been to them all. But I have gone carp fishing in pay lakes since I was a little kid. And I have always enjoyed it. And when I was a teenager, I would go with my uncle sometimes, and it just got me hooked on carp fishing at the pay lake. Now, I love to go out in wild water carp fishing, too. That's a whole lot of fun. I love to bass fish and brim fish and catfish and all this other stuff, but I have a particular interest in carp fishing. And so this might be a podcast where even if you own a carp lake, maybe you don't really go out to other lakes all that much, but you might find it interesting to get some feedback from somebody like me who's gone to carp lakes all their life and they've seen a whole bunch of different ones and the things that I like, things that I don't like, the things that I generally, you know, when I look at a carp lake, I'll go, man, I kind of like the way they do that, or man, that's not so much, that's not good, or, you know, that kind of thing. It's nice to get that feedback. Maybe not about your particular lake, but just carp lakes in general. So I want to touch on some of that. But before I do, I want to say something about the Bait Mix website. I notice at the time of this podcast, it's April 1st, April Fool's Day, 2024, and I've noticed there is a lot of traffic going to the Bait Mix website lately. Okay, I imagine this time of year, a lot of these carp lakes start ramping things up on the first day of April. That's generally when a lot of them kind of crank the thing, you know, get things going. And I think that's probably why people come to the website, they start looking at bait recipes and that type of thing. So I'd like to encourage, if you're listening to this podcast, or if you come across one of our Bait Mix business cards that kind of tell people how they can go and submit a bait mix recipe, which is basically a carp bait recipe or some sort of fishing recipe on the website. Or if you have visited the Bait Mix website lately, either through the podcast or just doing a search on Google, when you get there, please take time and go and put in a bait mix recipe. One of your favorites, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. As long as it's not spam and it's legitimate, I'd like to encourage people to do that. I put up some as I can, and I've got tons on the website that I haven't actually made available because I have to go and type all that stuff in, and it takes time. And I'm going to do a good many more this year. And then I like to go back and get a photo of the recipe, which takes time because I have to go make all of those. Even the ones I don't always use, I'll have to go make them and take a photo and put it with the recipe because I think it helps people kind of get a visual of what it's going to look like. I mean, you can imagine too, but I think it's nice to see it and it helps make it look a little nicer. So I try to do that when I can, but sometimes I'll put some up and I'll put a generic photo because until I get a picture of it or I go make it again or I'm using it or whatever, then of course I'll try to take a picture and stick it up. So I encourage you to go to the website and submit your own bait recipes. There's a place to do that. You can do it in the forum. There's a link on the front page and in the footer where you can go and put those in. It really helps us out and it helps other people too, like you, who love to carp fish or fish in general. It doesn't have to be just a carp fishing recipe. And they can go because, you know, when I get them, I'll look at them. And as long as they seem legitimate, I'll try to get them up there as soon as possible. And if you can submit a photo with it, I'll try to put the photo up. I will. I'll try to put it up so that it, you know, kind of matches what you want and do the best that I can because it's nice. It's nice. You know, years ago when I started the Bait Mix website, and most people don't know this, but it wasn't what it is today. Some, I don't know how many years ago, gosh, 15 years ago, maybe I had the bait mix website. So I've had it for a very long time. And I used to only, the only thing the site was for was a bait database. I used to have 200 or 300 bait recipes up there, but it wasn't as pretty and attractive as it is now. Okay. It's changed a lot. I changed some things. I tried to make it a little more modern so people would go visit it, and a little more SEO friendly so people could actually find the site and that sort of thing. But, you know, I still have to go back. And now, since I'm doing it a little different, I have to put all the bait recipes back in. It takes time, a lot of time and energy to do that. And also, if you didn't know, there is a Pay Lake directory on the website. I tried to put one on there because if you're like me, now, don't get me wrong, there's lots of places you can go carp fishing or fishing, and you don't need a Pay Lake directory. But for the people that like to Pay Lake fish, it is really hard to track down the names, numbers, addresses, and all these, you know, all these pay lakes, because some of them, they don't really put their schedule out very much. You can't hardly find their number. You do a search online, some of the numbers are outdated. You know, they change hands. Some are not open anymore. There's all kinds of different things going on with some of these pay lakes. So I tried to put a directory up. Now, when I put the Pay Lake directory up there, I will go back and keep adding every year some more. It may be in a different state. I might find a couple that I missed locally, and I keep adding them, okay? Now, I'll go back every couple of years. Okay, so what I'm saying is I started that last year, and I'll add some more this year. Now, I won't go back and double-check the numbers from last year, like the phone numbers and stuff, but I'll do that every couple of years. Every couple of years, I'll go back and check all the ones that I put up a couple of years ago, update the notes, check all the numbers, make sure they're still in business. Okay, because, you know, I don't want to just have to check them as it grows and I get more and more. You know, I don't want to call 300 people to see if they have carp lakes that are the same, you know. So I'll try to check it every couple of years to make sure the numbers are as current as I can keep them. Now, if you see that one of them's wrong, or you see that one of the notes is not correct, or if there's a different email address now, there is a place in the forum under Pay Lake schedules and locations, and that you'll see it in the forum. If you sign up on the website, you can go there and actually put a note in there. You can even send me an email if that's easier. You can do that on the contact page of the website. Whatever you need to do to let me know that I need to change something, and I'll go back and check and make sure it's right if you'll just kind of give me a heads up. Now, if you have a pay lake, if you own a pay lake, and you want me to add it, no matter where you are in the world or in the country or whatever, if you'll send that to me in an email or you'll put it in the forum, I will add that to the Pay Lake directory. And I've noticed that, you know, it's funny, when you put something up on a website like Baitmix, it doesn't go up on Google instantly. It takes a month or two. And then it starts to gain traction. And I've noticed that about the Pay Lake directory as well. So if you are somebody out there that has a fishing forum or another bait website, please feel free to link to that Pay Lake directory page. Okay, because that helps drive traffic to it. It helps people find it. And it helps me kind of get the site, you know, kind of gaining traction in those parts of the site that I just put up and that kind of thing. So I would appreciate that. But anything you can do to help add that information so other people can have access to it, it makes it that much better. So feel free to submit a recipe of your own so people can see it, one that you like or you find interesting or it's done well for you or whatever. And feel free to submit some local pay lakes that you know of, maybe I don't know about. Or maybe, you know, most people don't know, or if it's new, maybe it's a new one, you know, and that kind of thing. So do that for me, and that would help me out. I would really appreciate that. Now, getting back to what the podcast was about, and we wanted to talk about the things at a pay lake that make it a great pay lake. And Lord knows I've been to a lot of pay lakes, and I've seen the good and the bad, the whole spectrum. I've seen them where, you know, it looks like nobody's hardly there. They look deserted, to ones that are just hopping and busy and there's always people there and it's bustling and you can barely hardly find a spot to fish. I've been to all kinds of different ones, some that have great, bait shacks and some that have some really poor bait shacks that, you know, you really don't even want to walk in the door because the steps are about to fall in. I've seen it all. And so let's talk about some of the things that I find important if you're trying to, if you have a carp lake already or if you're going to a carp lake, or the things that I think make a carp lake really good, really good. Now, the first one I wanted to talk about was, you know, when you are trying to find a carp lake, and that, I just mentioned, you know, the bait mix directory is one way to help. You can go on there and search for a lake if it's in there to pull it up and that kind of thing. But I found that it helps a pay lake, any fishing lake for that matter, pay lake, carp lake, tournament lake, whatever, if they're easy to contact. Some of these places are very difficult to find their number. They really are. So putting them on a website like Baitmix or making their own Facebook page or whatever is a great way to let people know, you know, what your number is. You're making your address clear so they can easily find you. And I like pay lakes who have a consistent schedule. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't ever change, but having a reasonably consistent schedule, some sort of rhythm to it, really helps down the road, because some pay lakes, you know, they don't update their schedule online when they do have one very much. And what they were running last week, they're not running this week. And what they were running last month, the hours ain't even the same this week. And what days they were open last month, it's changed now. They're different. And it changes so much, it really makes it very difficult. I like specifically ones that are fairly consistent, and you can go to the lake and they have, you know, business cards that they can, people can get that have a schedule or a link to a schedule or a phone number or an email they can ask questions or whatever it is. I think it's important that a pay lake is, like I said, easy to contact, easy to get that schedule information. And, you know, a lot of these pay lakes, they use Facebook. But, you know, I'm one of these people. Now, I have a Facebook account through Baitmix that I hardly ever use. I mainly just made it so that I could look at everybody else's Facebook schedules and get those if I needed to. But I don't go to Facebook. I don't hang out on Facebook. I don't send messages on Facebook. So, and had it not been for me trying to get schedules for some of these lakes, I wouldn't even have a Facebook account. So I'm not, you know, even though I have a website and I have a couple websites, I'm not really big on that whole social media, whatever. Some of it I don't mind, but I don't get into it a lot. And there's people like me who are just, who are either older, don't want to fool with it, don't like it, whatever it is. So I think it's important that you have maybe a flyer, a card, a board at your pay lake, something easily, you know, make it easy for people to contact you so that they can get that information. Because otherwise, that's going to limit the number of people that can come to your lake. Not everybody's like you, and not everybody goes to Facebook, is all I'm trying to say. So you need to have a really clear way for people to get that information. And also, I think the next thing I would say is when you go out to these pay lakes, okay, I've seen some that are, you know, they're going out to the lake. It's hard to know where you're turning. You don't know which road to take. You think you got the right one, but they're not clear, like paved, you know, county roads. These are like dirt roads that go off behind a house and down a hill and through a mud puddle. And I think it's important that you have a well-maintained access road, not just, you know, a long stretch of mud with a bunch of potholes. You know, that's not good. I've seen some like that, and I'm almost scared to drive down there. You know, I think if you're going to run a pay lake, it's nice if you can at least have a road that's not going to tear somebody's car up. I want to mention that. I think that's important. I think most people would agree that's important. Not everybody has a four-wheel drive vehicle to go down here just to go carp fishing. You know what I mean? And you don't want to feel like just because it rained yesterday, you got to go from the pay lake to the, you know, to the little spray-off car wash down here because your car's got mud all over. So I think that's an important thing. And to have a visible sign, you know, a big, pretty, nice sign that tells people where to go is really important. I have seen some lakes that have really nice signage out near the main road that points to the streets you got to turn down and all this other stuff or the road you got to take. And I really appreciate that. And I think if you have another smaller one, not right at that road, but down the road a little piece, pointing in that general direction, is nice too, because some of these lakes that I did not even know existed, I was able to find because I passed a sign that said, hey, so-and-so fishing lake. And when I drove by, I was like, hey, I didn't know there was a fishing lake. So when I come back by the next time, I would go by just to check it out, just to see if it was one that I'd like to go fish at. So I think that's a really, really big deal. Also, I think when you get down to the Pay Lake, it's important to have a well-maintained fishing area. You know, nice sheds that are not falling in that people can actually use, and a nice bank structure. Now, I don't know that I would go so far. Not that there's anything wrong with, like, for example, the Blacksburg Carp Lake in Blacksburg, South Carolina. I went by there last year, I think, and it's a beautiful lake. The guy that owns it now, I think he's a new owner, did a fantastic job. He's got like this concrete wall around the lake that is beautiful. And instead of posting numbers along like you see at some carp lakes on little wooden stobs and this, that, or the other, he's actually painted sections of the wall in alternate colors, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white. And it's beautiful. It looks fantastic. Now, I don't know that every lake can afford to do that, but if you can, that's great. That's really a beautiful, I thought he did a great job. And I give him a lot of props for that, because when I drove by and I saw some of the changes he had made, I was like, wow, that's really nice. And I hadn't seen too many lakes. Now, I've seen lakes with the wall around it. I've seen wood and concrete and did different things. But he's got the grass going right up to the top of the concrete, and he's got the concrete different colors. And it really sets the lake off and makes it look really nice. So, you know, like I said, credit to him. He did a great job. A well-maintained fishing area. And part of that, I mean, like some of these places, when you go to fish around the lake, they don't bother to plant grass. It's just gravel and dirt. And where that's fine for the most part, if it's not rainy and muddy, it really affects the overall feel. And I want to mention something about that. Now, if you've ever been to Foster's Fishing Lake over here in, oh, gosh, I guess that's going towards Lyman, South Carolina in the USA. Now, Foster's, they don't have a great wall around theirs. It's kind of dilapidated. They really need to work on that some. But I give him credit. He's tucked away in this nice little forest area. And around his lake is a lot of green grass. And it goes up to the lake, and it really has a nice, grassy, nice feel. And when you go down there and see it, if you look up in the trees, I was down there a couple times these last couple years, and there's, you know, hawks up there flying around, and they'll fly over you, and ducks are flying. But I mean, it's really a nice country feel. And I really like that. Now, I like that nice country grass area. He probably ought to work on his wall a little bit, but still, it's still nice. It's still nice there. I like the way it looks and the way it feels and all that down there. So, but, and some of the sheds at some of these lakes that I've seen over the years, I've seen some that are beautiful. Big D's Carp Lake over here, he's got some nice sheds. I've seen some that have put a lot of time and money into their sheds. And the sheds are mainly, if you didn't know, if you'd never been, that's where you get underneath if it's bad weather. A lot of heavy rain. You got to have some place to sit. Not everybody wants to hold an umbrella out there. So people will huddle underneath these sheds while the storm passes. And that's nice. And it helps to get out of the shade. I mean, out of the sun, too. It's a little shade, you know, around those lakes. But I've seen some lakes with some beautiful shed structures around, and I've seen some that are just falling in, and some I've gotten in and they'd be wasp nests up here and you don't want to get stung, and it's a whole big ordeal. So I think you don't have to have brand new ones, but I think they need to be, you know, well-maintained. I think that really helps make the whole fishing experience, you know, better. Now let's talk about the clearly marked spots. Okay. So when you go to a pay lake, at the beginning, before we start to fish, you would generally draw spots. Now, every lake has got their own way of doing this. It's a little different for every lake. Everybody's got their own thing, you know. But they're kind of similar, okay? But either way, you'll end up on a spot around the lake at some point. You'll be setting up your rod stands, and you'll either fish between certain numbers to the right of a certain number, to the left of a certain number, or in between two stops, or around a stop, or around a whatever. Every lake's got their own way of doing that. Doesn't really matter how they do it. I think as long as it's like clearly marked and understood, like there's no mystery to it. Because you got to understand, yes, I know you may have been doing it that way for 10 years, but that doesn't mean that Johnny Handsome over here, that's his first trip to your lake, knows what the heck you're doing. And I know we can ask this fisherman over here and this fisherman over here, and they'll say this or they'll say that. But even some of them, when you sit at the stobs or between the stobs or number or wherever you're at on the lake, they're wanting you to throw between certain color buoys and this buoy and that buoy, and they've got alternate colors, and it can be a bit confusing. It can be a bit confusing. I'll give you an example. One of my favorite carp lakes is Floyd's Carp Cat and Lakeside Grill. I think I'm saying that right. Beautiful fishing lake, excellent carp lake. It's over in Shelby, North Carolina in the United States. I've been there. I like it. I've made a podcast about it. I really enjoy that place. His banks are well-maintained. His lake looks beautiful. He's got little coins in the ground. They're like stamped into the ground, these little, I don't know how big they are. But I'm going to say, I don't know, 4 to 6 inches in diameter. And they got numbers on them, and you throw toward the shed on the opposite side with that matching number. At least I think that's correct. And that's not a bad way of doing it. It's different. I haven't seen one quite like that. But the way he does it works fine, but at least it's neat, well-kept, and it's fairly clear. It's a little confusing at first about trying to understand that you got to throw to the shed on the other side. But I've seen some that, now, for example, now Greens, Ken's passed away, the gentleman that used to run Greens for years and years. His family still, now Greens is over towards Chesney, South Carolina in the USA. Now, Greens is a beautiful, it's a big lake for a carp lake. It's a pretty big lake. And in certain parts of the lake, to throw out to the rope in the center is quite a cast. You got to have a pretty good rod, be a pretty good caster, or you're going to sling your bait off trying to get out there. So having a little bit longer rod length, it'll help you kind of make that cast, I believe, at least in my opinion. But his banks aren't all the best. They got some dirt and all this. But he's got, the spots are pretty wide. They're pretty wide. So, you know, it's pretty easy to find where you're supposed to be when you're fishing out there when he was running tournaments and that kind of thing. So I didn't mind that so much. But even still, I think, you know, being marked very clearly is an important thing. It certainly does make for the whole experience, you know, to be a little bit better. Now, I think the other thing is when I go to a fishing lake and I'm carp fishing, one of the things that I pay attention to is how healthy are the fish and is there a lot of fish in there? I mean, is it stocked with fish? I mean, and not just if you go and you don't catch anything one trip. Some days they just don't bite. But if you're going there on a regular basis and you know that it's just not a lot of fish in there, that can be concerning because, you know, you want to know that there's enough fish in there that you stand a good chance of kind of getting on a run and catching a few and having, you know, you don't want to catch the same fish every time you go. And I don't really like seeing a carp lake where the fish look kind of thin and unhealthy. And it's like, they're not being, and it's not that they're not getting food, I guess, but I don't know. They just don't look well. Lots of sores, old fish, they call it. Some carp fishermen call it. It's an old fish. They'll see it because he's got, you know, a tore mouth. He's been caught 75 times. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. I don't like to see a whole bunch of that. Some of that's fine. But, like, I will say this about Foster's. You know, I had mentioned Foster's a while back. The fish in Foster's, most of them, whew, very healthy, thick fish. And I'll tell you why I think that is. These carp lakes, they get their fish stocked. They get them stocked by contracting somebody, generally, okay? Sometimes they'll bring them from up north. Sometimes they'll bait a spot on a lake or river somewhere, and they're kind of pulling them in, and they'll put them in tanks, and they'll bring them over. And each lake is different, but the lakes generally will pay anywhere from 50 cent maybe to $1, $1.50 a pound, depending on what size they need. For example, they might need, maybe the pay lake says, I'm only going to take fish that are 10 pounds and over. Maybe that's all they want. And he says, and the guy goes, well, I'll give you $1 a pound for him. So if he brings in a 10-pound carp, the guy that's selling them, that would be a $10 fish or whatever. I don't know. But and so they stock their lake regularly every year, twice a year, whatever it is, with X number of fish, whatever they think they need for their lake. And I look for that. I look for a well-stocked lake that's got pretty healthy fish. Now, when you go to Foster's, now, I don't know how he's doing it now, but they used to have a place that they baited that they went and got their fish down towards in South Carolina on the coast or on the way to the coast or whatever. I forget where they said, but they would go bait that hole to catch a bunch of them in the springtime and come back and stock their own lake. So they had fish already in there, sure, but you always have a certain amount of attrition over time. You know, some fish will die just for whatever reason. And you always want to replace those every year so you don't get too thin on fish. And he would put some monster, healthy fish in there. I've seen some really nice fish come out of Foster's. And there's other lakes that stock well, too, have pretty healthy fish. But I have seen some lakes where I have gone, and just about every fish that come out of there doesn't look too good. Now, I don't know what's going on with that, but I don't know whether they just don't ever stock it or they're not getting enough healthy food. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I look for a really healthy fish environment because it's, you know, better for the fish, better for the fishermen, better for everybody. Makes for a better experience in general. Also, when you go to a carp lake, I think it's important that the rules of the lake and the procedures on how they do things is well explained. I've gone to some lakes. Oh my gosh. I couldn't tell you. It's a shot in the dark. You go there the first time. You don't know how they're doing their drawings. You don't really know how they do their spots. You don't really know anything. Not really anybody that helpful. No real signage out there that's going to explain much of it to you. It's just a mystery till you do it. And even then it's, you know, I'll end up fishing and getting my spot out there. And I felt like I had to muddle my way through the nonsense just to figure out what they were doing. That's not a good thing either, especially to people that don't come to your lake every day. You have to have procedures in place that let the new people or people that don't come there as often kind of know what's going on so that they feel a part of the process and they don't feel like an outsider the moment they show up for the first time, because that can be a little intimidating. And I think some people would get discouraged with that, and they might not come back. They might decide to go to the other carp lake down the road where they know what's happening. Maybe they don't like it as much. Maybe the fishing's not as good, but they feel more, you know, like they belong. The procedures make sense. They're not confused. And so I think that's really important to have some very clear procedures about weighing your fish so that people understand the rules and all that's well-defined and easy to understand, and somebody that's readily available to answer those questions in a nice way, not in a demeaning, you know, there's a lot of good fishermen that don't go to Palex. And when they go for the first time or two, you know, it's important that the person answering the questions, whether it be a lake boss, a family member, a buddy, somebody just there to help out, that they're really happy to answer those questions and not make them feel like idiots just because they have a question. They may not have gone to the Palex 10,000 times like you. And, you know, making them feel welcome matters. And I remember when I first started carp fishing at Palex when I was a kid, you know, I started going to Perry's in Gaffney, South Carolina when I was a young man. And those people were great. Junebug, when he was around, he's passed away since then. I miss him. He's a great guy. He was a fantastic guy, to be honest. And I always felt at home there. I always felt like I could go to him, talk to him. He was answer any of my questions just like, you know, we'd known each other 20 years or something. He was just that kind of fella. He was definitely one of those all-time great carp lake bosses. I don't think you could find a better one anywhere. And so, you know, there's not a lot of people, and don't get me wrong, not everybody's going to be like him. He's unique. But I think being welcoming and ready to answer those questions really helps the new people who may not have caught carp fish that much, or maybe they hadn't been to your lake and they're just a little intimidated by the procedures and what they have to do. Now, the next thing I wanted to mention was bathrooms. Oh my gosh. Clean bathrooms with toilet paper and some way to dry and wash your hands with soap is very important at a carp lake. Now, don't get me wrong. most people who go carp fishing, yes, we're all mostly country people, and not everybody, but we're fine with kind of winging it. But there are certain expectations, I think. You know, if your only bathroom at the carp lake is a porta potty and it smells like it's not been cleaned in 16 years, that's not good. It sends a bad message. If you're not willing to clean your porta potty or your bathroom and you can't make it at least somewhat presentable, I don't know that I would. There's just some things I wouldn't do there, like eat your food, for example. I mean, I'm just saying that I think that's it's an indicator that there might be some deeper problems. Okay. I'm not saying there's, you know, some people that's the best they can do. I get that. But even with just a porta potty, it can be clean. I would much rather, if I had a little shack at a pay lake, if I didn't build anything else, I'd build a bathroom. I'm telling you, you got to have one, especially with a family that comes out there to fish at your lake with a wife and kids. If the woman can't go to a decent bathroom, the next time her husband says, let's go carp fishing, she's going to go, do we have to go to that one lake? You know, the one where it's got the nasty porta potty? Because to us guys, we can handle some of that. But that's not something that, to me, a decent pay lake needs to have a reasonably decent, within reason. Doesn't have to be immaculate, but it needs to be within reason, a decent place to go use the restroom. I mean, let's be honest. You just got to have it, and it needs to, yes. I can't tell you how many of these pay lakes I've gone to. They have a bathroom. Some of them kind of rough, and some of them not so much. And some of that I've gone to, and they don't even have toilet paper in there. So I have, over the years, I always take my own toilet paper because I've learned a hard lesson. And you can only imagine what I'm talking about, right? So I always take my own because I don't know what I'm dealing with. Now, if I know I'm going to one and it's one of those places I've been to and I know they do a great job, then I have to worry about that. But you got to plan ahead at some of these places. Oh, my gosh. And that means taking water bottles to wash your hand or a jug of water and some soap of your own, maybe some hand sanitizer. You got to be prepared. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's nice when they have decent restrooms. I think that's super awesome. I mean, super awesome. Okay. You know, when we're talking about fishing, I think it's important that the carp lake, if they're running tournaments, not every fishing lake runs tournaments, but the ones that do, which is the ones that I like to go to, I like that competitive atmosphere. I think it's important that they have prices that just don't cater to certain people. For example, some carp lakes, the prices are so high. Not all of them are high. Some carp lakes have very reasonable prices. Some of them, they have a little of both. They have some high nights where it's very expensive, which is fine because some people like to fish for more money, and that's nothing wrong with that. Some people don't want to spend a carp payment just to fish a carp tournament every night. So unless you just want to drive people away, you need, in my opinion, and it's my opinion, I think you ought to have some nights that cater to people that want to fish maybe for fun or for a smaller amount of money versus always fishing for more money. I think having a little of both, maybe Friday nights you fish for a little more, Sundays a little less, whatever. I think you mix it up throughout the week and give people the opportunity to fish something in their budget, because that will help you bring customers in. Not everybody can spend $150 to go carp fishing. Some people, $40 is fine. They want to go just do something and compete and try to have a chance to win a little bit or have a little bit of fun, but they don't want to go out and blow a bunch of money. Because some people, in my view, they don't expect to win. They're just going to compete for fun. They might win, and they know they might win. Anybody can win. Fishing's fishing. But they know the odds are stacked against them. Some of these fishermen out there on some of these carp lakes are outstanding fishermen, and they don't want to go just throw their money away. So they're not there to donate their money. They would like to come on a night when, hey, if they lose 40, maybe they can afford that. That's not too bad. But they don't want to lose $150 every time they go. So it's nice to have a full spectrum of all that, and I do think it's important that at these carp lakes you have it at least one late night carp fishing option. And by that, I mean fishing till at least 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. That sounds awful late, but I think And I've always liked the Carp Lakes, no matter what schedules they run, where they have one morning schedule, then they skip for dinner, and they don't fish for dinner from, like, let's say, for example, they might fish from 9 till 4. I don't know. I'm just throwing these numbers out there. And then maybe they don't fish at all until 9 that night. And that, and they skip for dinner. People go, they'll eat dinner, do whatever they're going to do, take a shower, come back, and they'll actually fish from 9 until 4 o'clock in the morning. I've seen lakes do that, and I really like that one late night option every week or two so people can come do that. It's just fun. I don't know why it's fun, but I think it's because people go out there, they'll make a little fire if that's allowed at the lake. They might grill out a hot dog late at night. They'll sit around and talk, and there's something about carp fishing late at night in a great carp fishing atmosphere, and we'll talk about that in a minute too. I just think that's good to have that option sometimes. I think it adds to things, especially I'm going to talk about why here in a minute, why that's important. Okay. The next thing I think is important is some of these lakes. Now I'm going to say this. I want to say it carefully. I think most of the carp lakes out there are genuinely good people run them. And I think they generally mean well. And I think they generally were pretty responsible and they want to be fair and all these other things. But I mentioned in one of my podcasts earlier, that some carp lakes, and it's a small percentage, don't misunderstand me, it is a small percentage, they have house fishermen. And I think it's important that you don't, as a carp lake, ever get involved with house fishermen. And for those that don't know what a house fisherman is, okay, it's when the lake boss or the carp lake ownership kind of makes an agreement under the table with certain carp fishermen to split the winnings if they win, let them fish for free, where everybody else having to pay, but they're not. And if they win, they got to split it with the house, stuff like that. They call it house fishermen. And they do a few other shady things. But either way, that's when they're trying to take advantage of the general competition in some way. They're trying to gain an upper hand, an advantage, and profit off the other people there that are just wanting to fish fair. Now, I don't want that to discourage anybody from going to any of these carp lakes, because like I said, most carp lakes are really good people. And I think they really mean well and they do a good job, but there are a few. And I think you should always go into a carp lake. Now, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think you should always go try a carp lake out on a cheaper day or when they're fun fishing. Fun fishing is when you don't go for free, but they might charge you 10, 15 bucks to go try it out. I recommend that you do that to get a feel for the lake, the ownership, how they treat you, the people around the lake, and see if it's a place you want to go back. Okay. I'll give you an example. I went to a lake not last year. I won't say which lake it is because I don't, overall, they seem like a nice enough lake. But I was out there fishing one day, and there was these two little kids out there were fishing, and they went over and fished at a spot nobody was at because it was a fun fishing day. And there was a guy fishing a couple of spots down to where the kids moved to, and he started just chewing them out, cussing them out. And I actually said something to the guy. I said, whoa. I said, no, there's no need for that. And I told the kids, I said, why don't y'all come over here and fish next to me? And they come over and sat next to me and fished. And then they went over and hung out with their parents again. But that gave me the impression, okay, because the impression I got was the guy that was running his mouth to these kids might have been friends with the owners. Now, I don't know. The owners may not have liked him a whole bunch. That might not have been their friend, but he considered himself a friend of the ownership. And he was being a bit, bullying to these children just out having a good time on a fun fishing day. It kind of put a bad taste in my mouth, and since then I haven't been back. And I think it's not that I wouldn't go back, but it made me wonder what I was dealing with here really a little bit. And it may, I can't blame the ownership really, because I don't know his take on it. He probably may have reacted like I did. He may have told the guy to leave if he'd heard that. I don't know. You see, I don't know any of that, but you get the point. When you go to a lake and they have house fishermen, or they have a bad element of people or fishermen that hang around, I'd probably stay away from that lake, because in my view, the ownership is responsible. The lake boss is responsible to make sure that the people fishing at the lake are treated fair and they're treated nice. And you don't have some bully over here or some jerk or whoever that's being hateful to the families or kids or people out just trying to fish and that, you know, that kind of thing. I think it's important that the, you know, generally most of the people that go to these lakes, most of the fishermen I've found are great people. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. The times that I've seen some rude people at the Pay Lakes has been far and few in between. It happens. It happens. I've seen some rude ones now. But that's just like anything else out there. But mostly, I'd say, you know, 95 times out of 100, they're nice people. They're helpful. They'll help you dip fish. They'll talk to you, answer your questions. They're good people. So don't get the impression that that's a common thing. But it does happen. And I think when I go to a lake that's got too much of that, then I get an impression that that's allowed, or they're letting that go, or somebody's overstepping too much, or they're just, you know what I mean? That would deter me as a customer, as a client. If I'm going up there to fish and have a good time and have a good fishing experience and I'm running into too much of that, I might back off a little bit and go, well, I think I'd rather go down here to Floyd's Carp Cat and Lakeside Grill down there, because I love those people. You know, that's what I would do. That's the way I see it. So just kind of keep that in mind. And when you go into these lakes, just, you know, kind of shy away from the ones that have the bad element. And the people that are running these lakes, I think most of them try to do a pretty good job about that. So, you know, I wouldn't judge them just by one guy, but you know what I mean. I think going to the ones that take that more seriously is probably a good thing. I want to talk about the bait shacks, okay, and the food options. I think one of the things that makes a carp lake good, and again, I had just mentioned Floyd's Carp Cat and Lakeside Grill. They, over in Shelby, North Carolina, they have a nice bait shack there. And I've seen some other bait shacks. Big D's over here have a nice bait shack. I've seen Perry's got a pretty nice bait shack. I've seen several. That's got, and there's others, not just them, but there's others got some really nice bait shacks. And you can go in, they got the bait, they got hooks, sinkers, line. Some of them will line your, or spool your line, or line on your reels for you. They'll sell rods and reels if you need them, nets, whatever it is. And they got all kinds of stuff that you might need to make your bait mixes and your different carp recipes, whether it be chow or grits or rice or whatever it is. They got a lot of that stuff on hand for you. But some of them also sell hot dogs and hamburgers. Now, not all of them really have the resources or the space to sell hot dogs and hamburgers like some of these places do. But I've seen some like Silver's over in other side of Rutherford, North Carolina. I've seen others, and they sell hot dogs and hamburgers, and they have a really nice little restaurant deal going on there. And I think when you have that option, it really helps add to the lake. Now, that being said, if I go to one and the bathroom is dilapidated and it's not been cleaned in 6 months, I don't know that I would order from their grill. But I'm saying that if they have clean restrooms and they have a nice little place that you can order a hot dog or ham, that really, really helps add to a really nice fishing experience for the day. Now, I went to Greens over towards Chesney, South Carolina last year. Again, I made a little blog about that too on the website. And it talks about the experience that I had there. And I was over there fishing at Greens. And, of course, I'd mentioned the passing of Ken, who was a really good guy. Miss him. But I was over there fishing. His family, I think, is taking care of that now. And they don't have, since they're just kind of let people fun fish right now. Or they were. They may have changed it by now. I hadn't been back there since. But I'm going to check it out this year. But they had a place right up the street. Now, it wasn't right there at the lake. But you could go right up the road. It wasn't even 2 miles away. And we ordered hot dogs and stuff. So that was really nice. At least I didn't have to go far, and they had a place right up the road you could go get hot dogs. And there's some places that don't have it on hand right there, but there's a lot of food options right down the street, so that's always nice. And there's always Grubhub and DoorDash. I mean, I guess you could have it. I've never had it delivered to the fishing lake, but I guess you could. I guess you could do that, but I do like it when they have it on hand that you can do that kind of stuff. Now, I think another important part of a great fishing experience is when the jug system and the drawing system is very fair and it has integrity. Okay. And by that, I mean, somebody was telling me, I didn't read it, but somebody was telling me, hey, so-and-so was either fussing or responding or something on Facebook. I don't get into Facebook too much, but somebody online was complaining about the jug system at one lake or how they did something. And the people that run the lake were responding and they were not happy with each other. Okay. Now I don't know what all happened there. I don't know the details, but the point I'm trying to make, regardless, it's important that you have integrity in your jug system. For those that don't know what a jug is, at a lot of these lakes, you have an option. Some is mandatory, but most of the time you have an option to put a dollar or two into a jug. And if you hit that jug, which means you catch a fish of that particular weight to the tenth, then you win the money. It's in that jug. It might be a 20-pound two jug, 20.2 pound, 20 pound, two tenths of an ounce, whatever. If you hit that exactly when you weigh the fish, you win the money. It's in that jug, at least like 80% of it or 75% or whatever it is. They keep a little in there to roll over to the next time somebody hits it, but that's what they do. They accumulate these jugs. Now, whereas 99% of these lakes, I'm sure, do a great job maintaining their jugs and they're very honest, the world is struggling right now. Financially, a lot of people are strapped out there and people are doing all kinds of stuff they wouldn't normally do. And somebody, I think, was feeling like they weren't, this one particular lake had some questionable things with their jugs. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. I have no idea. But I think it's important that when fishermen go to a lake, that you go to great lengths to make sure that people know that your jug system is up to date. It is reliable, honest, and that they don't have to worry about any shadiness going on there. And the drawing system is fair. Now, again, I'm not saying this 100 times because I'm promoting them, even though I do like Floyd's Carp Cat and Lakeside Grill. They do a tremendously great job at their drawing system, but they're not the only ones. I've seen other lakes that do a great job at their drawing system too, when they go to fish and you know that it's fair, you know, that nobody's getting a little, some of these lakes, you kind of wonder about it a little bit, but most of them are pretty fair. So when you go to a carp lake the first time, a pay lake, for example, even if it's a catfish pay lake or whatever it is, and they do their drawings for spots, just kind of watch what they do. Make sure that you feel like they're treating you fair and it was random. If you don't get that vibe, if you get a bad feeling, if you feel like, I don't know about this, you know, I probably wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back. And they don't deserve you to go back. If they can't be smart enough as a lake boss to understand that drawing integrity matters, jug integrity matters, tournament integrity matters, scale integrity matters. If they can't see that, if they don't know that, if they don't understand that as an adult, they don't need your business. So I don't mind saying it. When you're putting your hard-earned money on the line, when you work hard for that money and you're willing to put that money down and say, hey, I'm going to put up that $100 or whatever it is, or it don't matter, but then you have a reasonable expectation that they're going to treat you fair. Win or lose, whether you win or lose, that's not the question. You can't control whether you either catch the fish or you don't. Your bait's working or it's not. You know, your spot's good or it isn't. But they can control whether the drawing's fair. That they can control. They can control whether or not there's money in those jugs like they're supposed to be, or you're getting a fair shake and stuff like that. So kind of keep that in mind. You know, if you go to a lake and you get a weird vibe, I probably wouldn't go back. I mean, there's other lakes out there that do a great job. I'd go see one of them instead. So I think that's important. That's a reasonable expectation, a reasonable expectation. Okay. Now the other thing, since we're kind of touching on that, this is an important part too. I think the overall hospitality at a lake matters. I've gone to some carp lakes over the years that I thought the hospitality was outstanding. I thought the lake boss was very welcoming, good attitude. Look, nobody did it better than Junebug. I'm just going to say it. That's Mr. Perry, the original owner of the I think his son runs Perry's Fishing Lake now in Gaffney, South Carolina. But when Junebug was around, he was the man. He was, I don't think I've ever been as welcomed to a carp at a carp lake than I was. That's why I loved going there as a kid. He was a good man. He flat out, and I never, ever had to worry about integrity when I was fishing and he was there. Never had to worry about it. And if some of these carp lakes, I don't have to worry about it there either. You can just tell that some of these carp lakes take integrity and how they run things and the way they treat their customers and their fishermen extremely, it's a big deal because that can make or break a fishing lake. If people know you're treating them fair, hey, they can handle losing. We all lose. You know, sometimes if they're just fishing for fun, they, as long as they know you're treating them, they don't care. They're happy to be there enjoying the sun, hanging out fishing. But if they, the moment they think you're cheating them, they're gone. And I don't blame them. So it's important to go to fishing lakes where the hospitality is good. If you go in there as a new fisherman visiting a lake for the first time and they treat you like they don't have time for you, they treat you like they ain't got the time of day for you, they busy, you know, come back later. Or if you call and you say, excuse me, sir, I got a question I want to ask about your schedule. Now, if they can't talk to you right then, they can probably call you back or say, could you call me back in about 30 minutes? We're getting ready to draw or something like that. That's fine. But if you call and they're rude to you and act like you don't matter, it's probably not a good idea to go anyway. It's probably not a good idea. If you go in there and they make you feel like you're not welcome, don't go. Don't put your hard-earned money down there. Don't buy from them. Don't order food. Go to somebody that will take that will treat you right. That's where you should go. That's what it's all about. It's that is your right as a consumer. That's your right as a customer to go where you feel like your money is better well spent. That's what I would do. That's what I do. I do it now. Now, I wanted to mention something that I think is one of the most overlooked important factors for carp fishing at a pay lake at night. And I've seen some lakes that do this pretty doggone good. And I've seen, well, most lakes don't take advantage of this. So I'm going to mention this. And I think it's really important. I don't know why, I guess. I do know why, but anyway. Have you ever been to one of those campgrounds out on the lake where it's just a campground? And I don't know if they're, you know, like on a big lake. And people go out there and they put lights up around their campers. They got these these amber lights, and it looks very campgroundish. It's almost Christmassy. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen those beautiful strings of lights people have off their porches and off their campers and around their campfire, and it just makes for a terrific late night atmosphere, especially when you have that all around the campground. You know what I'm talking about. And if you go out at Christmas, most people love to go out and see the lights on Christmas, you know, before Christmas, leading up to it, and this, that, and the other, after Thanksgiving. And a lot of people go to great lengths to hang up their lights. They've got beautiful displays of lights and blow-up things and all kinds of stuff. And people love that. I know I do. I love seeing the trees and the lights and the sparkles and all that stuff. See, I think that's really beautiful stuff. And I went to a pay lake over in Greer. I can't think of the name right off the top of my head. I wish I could think. But anyway, there's something I noticed about them. They had taken a long line of lights, okay, like a, I don't know what kind of light. It was like a fiber optic cable. And they had tied it through the rope that's running down the middle of the lake and separating the sections. And they had shined a colored light in the side of it. Now, since it's a fiber optic type light, it didn't have any electricity, just the light runs through it. And it doesn't lose any light integrity. It can go for a very long length and look just as bright as where you first started the light. And they had done a beautiful job lighting up the rope. Some of these lakes where you go at night, the ropes are almost impossible to see out in the lake. It's dark. They got colors on it, but you can't make out what the colors are. It's pitch dark out there. Some of the lakes are pretty big. And so it's really difficult to see. And now this particular lake, they went through the trouble of running this light down this rope. And it looks so pretty at night. It looks so pretty at night. And I've seen a few carp lakes, not many. And then some of them have floodlights. And it's nice to have some floodlights so people can see. But I'm going to tell you one of the things that I think some carp lakes really miss, and I've seen one or two lakes that took advantage of this. But when you put up campground light displays, like amber lighting, like rope lighting and around the lake, you know, not you know what I mean? Not so that it's in the way, but just so that the around the lake looks kind of, it sets the tone like a great atmosphere. And you light up the rope through the lake at night. It makes for some beautiful late night scenery. Now, when I'm sitting out at the carp lake at night, carp fishing, okay, and it's, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night, and it's a beautiful, comfortable night, and people have these lights and the rope lights lit up and the carp's biting good, and you can go up here to the shack and get your bait and you can order a hot dog and they're fishing till 2 a.m. and you're thinking, gosh, I get to fish for 4 more hours in this beautiful setting, catching fish, trying to win, and you can sit there in your chairs you brought and talk to your buddies about carp fishing and hang out with your family. It's hard to beat that. That is a great fishing experience. And some of these lakes, I think they miss that. I think they fail to grasp that that is important. It may not sound like it is on the surface, but if you follow what I'm saying, I think that's great. I really do. I think it's one of the key things, you know, because now you can order stuff like that on Amazon or different places, and you can light up a carp lake, and it don't cost that much. It don't cost, and it just makes the whole place look beautiful. So, you know, I would encourage some of these lakes to take advantage of that, because it creates an atmosphere at night that is welcoming. It's fun and exciting. There was a movie a long time ago. It's an old movie. I think it was in the 80s, maybe. It's called The Last Starfighter. And I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, but it was there was a guy out there, you know, he was playing a video game, and he gets recruited by the Star League. You know, I don't know. You'd have to go watch it, but it's an older movie. But what I liked the most about the movie was not the story. Weird enough, it wasn't the story. It was it kind of originated in a little campground field type community down there. And they had some lights outside and all that. And see, that's the kind of thing at late night at some of these carp lakes. When I see that, I really like that. It really sets the tone. It makes people want to come back and experience that again. Okay. Just having a floodlight, I mean, yeah, that'll get you by. You see what I'm getting at? There's more to it than just a floodlight. When lights are as cheap as they are, man, it's an opportunity wasted if you don't take advantage of it. If you don't take advantage of it, I would definitely do that. Now, the last thing I want to mention too that I think is important when you go to a pay lake, at least to me, we mentioned jugs earlier. And going to a lake, it's important for a lake to have good jug integrity, where they're honest about their jugs, they do it the right way, they don't cheat anybody, you know, all that, which most of them do a good job. But I think it's important. They also do a jug called a weekly. Well, not everybody, but a lot of them do a jug called a weekly, where you put money in on the weekly, and you would have to fish out the whole, well, you would fish one day, but once the week is completed, and what they do is they pay usually money to the largest fish for the whole week. If you happen to catch the largest one on the week, then you would get money for that. That if you had signed up for the weekly for that week, you don't have to fish every day. You just, you know, if you happen to, when you signed up that particular tournament ship that you fished, if you happen to get a big fish, if it ended up being the largest that week, you would win that money in that weekly. Some of these lakes, the weekly, you can ask them, and the lake boss will tell you where the weekly is, or who's got the biggest or whatever it is. But some of them don't make it very well known. They don't write it up on a board. Hey, the weekly large is this number. And they don't go to great lengths to document this. Some do make it a little more, you know what I mean? I guess what I'm trying to say is, I think the sign of a really good lake, one of them is how they treat the weekly. If I go home, let's say I go up there and they run their weekly from Monday to Sunday, and I go Monday, and I sign up for the weekly, and I catch a 32-pound carp, and I go, well, I got a shot at that weekly. Okay. But I'm not going to come back all week long. And you give them your phone number. And you leave. And they fish all week. You know, I'm not going to be there. I can't check behind. I can't make sure that I'm, if I'm the winner or not, I wouldn't know. I mean, I could call and ask, I guess. But I guess what I'm saying is, a sign of a good lake is if the end of the week on a Sunday night when that tournament's over, the first chance they get, whether it's that night if it's not too late or the first thing the next day, they're calling you to tell you you won the weekly, then that's a sign of a good lake. That means the lake boss cares about his lake. He cares about integrity. He wants to treat his customers right, that he's going to let you know you won that money, and that money's not going to just, you know, disappear. You get what I'm saying? And not that everybody would, but I think most people are pretty honest about that. I think, but in my mind, that's a sign, is what I'm saying, of a well-run lake. If you see them doing that, if you see them taking the weekly important, you know, taking it, making it very important that they see it through and they're honest, or they're letting people know and they're making sure they're paying that out on a regular basis. If you see them paying that out on a weekly basis and they're being honest and upfront about that, if you see that, that's a sign of a good lake. That's a sign that the lake boss is the real deal. Okay. With Bill McNeil, this guy cares about his people, cares about his fishermen, and he cares about his reputation. And I think that's one of those things that matter. At least it does to me. I watch all that stuff. It's kind of like going out to a restaurant and you watching them and they don't wash their hands. you know, the food might be good, but you might be going, I don't know, I got this weird vibe, but don't ever wash their hands. Or you go to the bathroom and none of the soap dispensers work. It makes you go, I don't know if I want to eat that cheeseburger. So that's the kind of the vibe I get. I pick up on stuff like that. Like if they're selling burgers at the Pay Lake, but the bathrooms look like they ain't been cleaned in 6 months, if I was a carp lake and I didn't want to clean the bathroom, I'd pay somebody to come in and do it once a week, twice a week, whatever it takes to keep them clean. That's what I would just pay somebody to do, contract somebody to do it. I mean, that would just be, if I didn't want to fool it, I'd pay somebody else to do it, but I'd have a clean bathroom, by God. But anyway, guys, this is just my take on some of the things that are important to have a nice Pay Lake experience. I don't know if some of it helped you. I hope some people out there, some of this will mean something to them. Maybe even some of these lake bosses. Maybe they're just starting a carp lake, or they've got one and they're thinking, you know, I didn't think about that. Maybe I said something and they go, you know, he's right about that. Or maybe somebody's out there right now going, you know, I don't even know if I have toilet paper in my bathroom out there at my carp lake, but I probably ought to go check that. Or Catfish Lake, or whatever type Pay Lake that you're running. But let us know on the website. You can always sign up and talk in the forum if you'd like, and let me know what you think about some of this. If there's things maybe you would add to the list, I'm sure there's some that you would add that I don't even have here. Because like I said, these are the things off the top of my head that I find important, but I'm sure there are others that I haven't considered. So, but anyway, guys, thank you for listening to the Bait Mix Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.